It's Carmen and Yurko.
Sports talk while you're on the clock.
Do I exaggerate?
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Yurko, live in our first Midwest Bank State Street studios. Watch us today and every day on Twitch. Follow the show. Join the chat. Twitch.tv. Download the Twitch app. See what's cracking in there. Brian Kelly left early morning meeting with Notre Dame players after 11 minutes, according to reports yesterday.
Did you see the update?
Oh, no. Is there an update on that?
Yeah, even though the report was that he spent 11 minutes. Students reported that He spoke for 2 minutes, did not take any questions, and then left.
Well, I did read that yesterday, that he didn't take questions. When did that change, that he was 2 minutes?
Well, wow. Reporters started asking students, hey, what did Brian Kelly say?
Oh, wow.
What was the meeting like? So he spent 11 minutes in the building,
okay. But
2 minutes in front of the 90-some-odd kids.
Wow.
And then he left without taking any questions.
In the last hours before he officially left, Kelly ghosted assistant coaches, according to The Athletic, and administrators and boosters didn't know the news was coming. Kelly's team found out on social media, with the coach finally sending them an update a little after 10 p.m. on Monday. That update read, I will have more to share when we meet tomorrow at 7 a.m. for 2 minutes. But for now, know that my love for you is limitless, and I am so proud of all that you have accomplished.
It means nothing.
No, it really, all of it means nothing.
It means nothing.
Brian Kelly felt like his time was up in South Bend. He could never win these big games when he got into the BCS or the college football playoff against the powerhouses of the SEC. He did beat LSU in a bowl game, I think, once, maybe even twice. Notre Dame fans will remind me on that. He might have 2 wins head-to-head against LSU. He lost. He got his teeth kicked in by Alabama, by Clemson, and then Ohio State 1 year. I mean, they're just never competitive. And maybe he's following the old rule of, well, we've been here for more than a decade now, and this is about the most I'm going to get out of this place. It's time for me to go. Now, good luck to you. You're recruiting in your own division in the SEC against Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher, who are two of the greatest. I mean, look, Nick Saban in Alabama is on its own planet. Come on. That thing's a factor. It's a machine. There's nothing you have to do, right? He's got to compete against that. And Jimbo Fisher's a great recruiter, right? Pretty sure.
I would guess, yeah. I mean, that's Florida State Jimbo Fisher in the past,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Now A&M. And A&M's got another great class coming in next year, if I'm
How's
not
Florida
mistaken.
State doing in football?
Not so good.
Boy, they have fallen, dude. They have fallen. Like,
these are all guys in his own conference now.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, in his own division.
Best of luck, yeah.
That he has to compete against. So I don't know that it's going to be easy. The last three head coaches down there have all won national championships. They've got lots to spend. They'll do anything they have to compete.
Is that Mike Archer? Mike Archer? No, it wasn't Mike Archer.
It's Saban into Les Miles into Ed Orgeron.
Yes.
All won national championships.
And Orgeron did in his first year, right?
His third year.
Was it his third year?
I want to say they might have all done it in their third year in a weird quirk. Or like relatively early on, they all
Irishman
did.
In the Bayou. I think that's going to be the name of his book. Don't you think, Brian Kelly?
I mean, they go from a guy who was so perfect Bayou.
To
Brian Kelly. It doesn't look like the Bayou. It doesn't sound like the Bayou.
The Irishman in the Bayou. Wait till he starts sweating down there.
Oh, my God.
Wait till he starts sweating.
He's not going to be coaching in the cold anymore. We won't see those rosy cheeks on the sidelines. So I don't know what does he really owe them? Like, people make a big deal out of it. I mean, what's he supposed to say? He texted his players Monday night. He's bailing on them. They got a chance to make the playoff. He's leaving for a better. Okay. I mean, like, is he supposed to spend a half hour with them? I don't know. What's he supposed to do?
Who does that serve at that point?
For him to sit there and, like, I kind of agree. I mean, what's he supposed to do?
I guess you could be a little more genuine when you, like, I'm actually
Can you?
Listening to, like, because I guess the speech was leaked, so I'm listening to it right now.
Somebody recorded it.
I want to hear it.
Do you? I mean, it's pretty.
Is it no good?
It's pretty standard. I'm rolling it in now.
But that's just it. Yeah, I do want to hear.
Okay.
I want to hear how standard it was.
Okay.
Coach speak. I've been there. Lindy and Fonny, when he said goodbye.
Look, like,
I've been cut by a number of others. You know.
I mean, should you do it like business? I mean, we've all, like, coaches get pounded for this kind of stuff. Danny hates Roy Williams to this day. Bonnie, I'm not going. How could you ask me that question? Was it Bonnie Bernstein that asked him? I don't know who asked him. How can you ask me that? My team, I'm not going anywhere. And then, like, okay, I'm going to North Carolina like a day.
The funnest one.
Lincoln Riley.
Carm, the
funnest. I'm telling you, I will not be the next head coach at LSU. 12 hours later, he's accepting the job at USC. He didn't lie, but I mean, how forthright is Lincoln Riley being with his team?
But how forthright are you supposed to be?
I am agreeing with you.
You know, until you have a deal.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Like, isn't this the way they do it? Like, whether we like it or not, is it shady? I mean,
when I got cut with Cleveland, when Cleveland was telling me they weren't going to bring me back, and I come in, it was post, I was rehabbing, they called me up to the office. It was Dwight Clark. It was Eddie DeBartolo.
The Dwight Clark?
Yeah, Carmen Paulson. I forget. I think it was Carmen Paulson.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Carmen Paulson and what Chris Palmer. And they started talking to me about, you know, hey, well, you know, careers run their course. And I said, I go, stop.
Did you know?
Yeah, I go, stop. I go, stop. I know what you guys need to do.
Yeah.
You guys want to release me injured. That's what you guys want to do. Okay. I understand what my rights are in this situation, what I'll be entitled to. All right? You guys need to do what you do, then I'm going to do what I do, and then we'll be in good shape.
And that it all happened?
And I had injury protection. Yeah. It went in the method it was going to go. And I said, but you're still responsible for my rehab.
Yeah.
Because I had to rehab from this. I was flying back to Cleveland to rehab.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right. I shook everybody's hand. I wished them the best of luck. I gave him a couple of thoughts on what I thought their problem was with the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just
like you
point
were the
blank.
Third best defensive player on the team.
Yeah, point blank. I let him know your quarterback's not your quarterback.
Right, yeah.
Just so you guys know.
Yeah.
Build your offensive and defensive lines. You know, that kind of stuff. Just smart stuff. The shutdown corner stuff, that kind of thing. But, you know, they were trying I don't want to say the word, but they're trying to just kind of tap dance around the edges. Gentlemen, let's cut to the chase. We're not here. It's
don't
not BS.
Be around the bush.
Somebody bring out the best scotch, and let's have one, and let me get the hell out of here.
Did
I understand what you guys
scotch?
Don't know.
No, you should. I mean,
no, they weren't bringing out the best scotch. But they, you know, you get those. You get those, and you get those awkward moments. And the way people handle those awkward moments when, you know, in essence, you're telling the guy to go home.
Yeah.
That's how you judge individuals and how you judge people, the way they deliver, the way they accept. It's the truth.
Yeah, I know. Like, I don't know that Brian Kelly's a very good guy anyway. I don't know that he's supposed to be or that he's capable of being one or that he wants to be one. I don't think he cares. He's a college football coach that the bottom line for him is trying to win. And I think I just don't know what should we have expected. Oh, my God, he met with his players for 11 minutes. Oh, now we found out it's two. Like,
be honest, what, guys.
He's getting on a plane to go to LSU. Like, what is
there?
They
gave me a deal I can't refuse. You're in a good situation here at Notre Dame. A Notre Dame degree is going to take you a long way. Much success on the football field. Much success in the classroom. I hope you guys have a ton of success in life.
Yeah.
If you need something, you can call me. Boom. That's it. And walk out the room and get the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah, I don't know what we expected. And again, I don't think Brian Kelly's a good guy to begin with, really. I don't think he cares to be one.
Well, did you see so it was a story that Rob Domofsky wrote a couple of years ago that resurfaced yesterday in light of the Brian Kelly news about Robert Saleh and Mike LaFleur, Matt's brother, who's now the OC for Saleh.
Yeah, in New York.
So they were grad assistants at Central Michigan when Kelly was the head coach there back in 2004.
Oh, go way back, yeah.
Yeah, so they were, you know, grad assistants making nothing.
Right.
They were stretching every dollar that they could. They didn't have TV as roommates because they couldn't afford it.
They're stealing from the training table. They're like pouring cups of milk into
exactly.
a gallon. Yeah.
Whatever they can do to get by.
Peanut butter and jelly and plastic cups, covering it with the aluminum foil, taking it back to the room so they got some. Stealing loaves of bread. We used to do it at training table all the time.
So as grad assistants, they get the invite from Brian Kelly at some point in like early December about a party that he's hosting. So they're pumped. They're like, we don't ever get to go out because we don't have any money. Now we get to go to a party at Coach Kelly's house. They get there.
Don't tell me this is like Coming to America where he's got him serving drinks.
Listen.
Is exactly like you are laying it out. I guess not exactly, but close enough. Brian Kelly informs Robert Saleh and Mike LaFleur that they need to shovel, and then they will be playing the role of valets for the party, parking people's cars, and then at the end of the night, they had to retrieve said cars.
He's Mr. McDowell.
And
our little party at the house. Why don't you come on over?
It left such an impact on Saleh and LaFleur that they vowed that night at the end of the evening that if they ever reached the heights of head coaching status, they would never treat their assistants that way.
That's good to hear.
Rob Domofsky wrote that story, and it resurfaced last night because of all the Kelly news.
Fantastic.
That shows you a little bit of the type of person Brian Kelly is.
Yeah, that's all you need to know.
And listen,
he's Judge Smales, like Jared. He's, you know, what are you doing? How'd you like to come over and mow my lawn, huh?
Listen, there's a way to go about it where you could do that, like, and give them a couple extra bucks to be the guys at your party.
Unreal.
Because they aren't making any money.
Unreal.
And I'm sure they would have been like, oh, Coach Kelly, great guy. He took care of us. He gave us a few extra bucks when we couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
All we had to do were park cars at a party.
Yeah, guys, come valet. I'll give you $100 for the night.
Absolutely, right?
Yeah.
Right? That's a way to do it where you're like, hey, I'm taking care of my guys.
Yeah.
Conversely, show up. You got a job to do because you're my grad assistant.
So this is Brian Kelly, folks. I don't think we should be surprised. I'm not sure what else he was even supposed to say in this situation. I think Yurko laid it out. Like, guys, I'm leaving. I'm sorry. I found something that I think is going to be better for me. You might not agree. I wish you all well. You ever need anything, you've got my number. Now I'm getting on a private plane to go to LSU. It's a cold-hearted business, man. It's a cold-hearted world. Come on. We're going to make a big deal out of it.
At least
Kelly's not a good guy anyway. We know that.
At least it's evened up for the players. If the player doesn't like it, he gets to go someplace else now.
That's true.
I'm entering the transfer portal.
Player wants to go, go.
Coach, I think you're a putz.
Yeah.
I'm leaving.
Exactly.
Go in the portal. Boom, you can go play.
And then here's Swarbrick talking about the characteristics in a coach. They sound fine to be able to go out and recruit somebody else. They might have been blindsided, and maybe they're just trying to put on a brave face right now. They don't seem too worried, though, in South Bend.
Fit at Notre Dame is number one. This is a unique place, and it is important that you understand and appreciate the uniquenesses. And so that's a critical element of this. Increasingly, the role of college football head coaches is a CEO role. And so clearly understanding your approach to building and managing staff becomes very important. Next, what's your approach to playing the game? What's your style? What do you do? How do you achieve victory on the football field? And then a whole list of things that relate to attracting and developing great student athletes, and especially the development part of it. I'm really pleased with where our recruiting is today and the improvements we've made in it, the resources we've put into it. But I still want to be a great development program. And so what are your ideas on developing young men to be great players, great champions, and great parts of our community?
Yeah, they do have a good recruiting class coming in. All right, we got some college football calls. We'll take those when we come back next. And I've got a game to play with Yurko. It's 312-332-3776 for Kermit and Yurko. We'll be right back.
Stream ESPN 1000 anytime through the ESPN Chicago app.
Listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Grab a couple calls and we're going to play Brian Kelly. Well, this says 3 minutes and 40 seconds, so it was a little longer than 2 minutes, Meller.
Listen, I can only give you the reports that were out there.
I love it.
But now we have the actual audio.
Here, we're going to play it. Hold on. Viking Scott's on ESPN 1000 with Carmen and Yurko. What up, Scott?
Gentlemen, before I get to I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up my Minnesota Vikings. 11 weeks of watching, they've had a 7-point lead in every game, and somehow we're still 5-6.
Every game is like a field goal game at the end or a touchdown. Every single one. It's great. They've had one game where they weren't in it. That was the Dallas game, right?
No. Dallas game they led. The one game where they actually got beat 14-7 by the Browns was probably the one they actually didn't deserve to win.
What was the final spread of the Dallas game, though? I feel like that was the only way that was the only game that got away from them, I thought, right? Didn't they lose?
No, they were up 10-3 at halftime. Remember, they had that, and then they had three chances on the last drive when they went down.
Okay.
Rush went down and beat them in the corner. But, yeah, they've led in every game.
Unreal.
Almost in the second half. But thank God my ticker's in good shape. So.
Yeah,
but
right.
Getting to the college football question.
You like that?
Getting to the college football, I think two good matchups would be, I watch a lot of college football. If Georgia wins, and also obviously Cincinnati wins, we get Georgia, Oklahoma State as a semifinal game, and then Michigan and Cincinnati, I think both can be very, very competitive because you got some good defensive teams left in that final four.
See, and Scotty's a college guy. He knows. I think that'll be just fine. I would take that, absolutely.
That's a New Year's Eve dream. Remember, it's a Friday night New Year's Eve, your two semifinal games. I'm looking forward to it.
New Year's Eve thing again?
Yeah, I don't really like it. Yeah. I don't know. And especially think about this. You got your holidays falling on a Saturday, but Christmas and New Year's Day, you can make it work really well, you know, with the NFL schedule wrapped around it. And I don't know why they put them on the Friday.
I didn't realize they were doing that again this year. I don't lie. Scotty, thanks, buddy. I hate that. The stupid New Year's Eve thing. They tried it a few years ago. Remember? Yeah. I was like, come on.
Well, it's when.
It's New Year's Eve.
It's a Saturday, right? It's when it falls on Saturday. They want that Saturday.
New Year's Eve is Friday.
Well, there's a reason they want. I mean, is it because they want it carved out
in New Year's? Listen,
On the Friday, I think.
Make no mistake, New Year's Eve. I get it. It's amateur. I'm not going out. I'm not. But I'm. You know, you got family. You got the kids. We're having some family over, stuff like that. I want to be doing that stuff.
Yeah, but the games are always blowouts anyway.
I'm hoping they're not.
I know, but we've had like two good games of how many now? 12.
I guess. I hate that. John's in the loop. What's up, John? Johnny boy. Going once, going twice. Johnny gone. All right, here's Brian Kelly talking to his players yesterday. The audio has leaked mysteriously.
Morning, guys. Thanks for getting up here in short order, short notice. As you know, I sent out a text last night trying to give you as much notice as possible given the circumstances that we all know that happened relative to social media and information getting out. And look, I know we've been through this together. I've recruited virtually everybody in this room. And I want to be able to tell you face to face, you know, why we're at where we're at. And that is very simply that the past 12 years have been the most incredible 12 years of my life, for me and my family, being here at Notre Dame. Magical in what we've been able to build with the most incredible student athletes, the ones that I'm looking at right now. And so many times people look at for a reason to blame or there was a reason for something. There was nothing here but first class and everything that Notre Dame has done for me and my family. I saw my time here as a blessing, working with incredible men on a day-to-day basis. But there comes a time where you look in your life for another opportunity. And I felt like it was time in my life for another challenge. And I saw that opportunity in a very short window and felt that it was best for me and my family. So there's no one to blame. There's nobody that's at fault. Nobody did anything wrong. You guys have been the backbone of this program and what you've accomplished, and will continue to do that. I think you're one of the four best teams in the country. Jack is going to get somebody that will continue to lead this program in incredible fashion. I don't know what it holds for us moving forward, but I hope the heck it means that you're playing for the national championship because you absolutely deserve it. So from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank every one of you for giving me this opportunity to speak to you directly because you don't get that chance very often. And thank you for allowing me to pursue what I love to do, and that's develop 18 to 21 year olds, and you will continue to achieve at the highest level and have great success no matter what moves forward for you. So again, thank you. I love each and every one of you, and for me, more than anything else, it's a sad day, but one where I know that each one of you are going to do great things, and you've got more to accomplish. I wish everybody here the very best, and thank you for the opportunity that you've given me
and my family. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
When you hear it, it's a lot different than reading he spent 11 minutes with his team. He didn't spend nearly 11 minutes. He didn't spend two either. That 340, though, when you hear it, it's a lot different than just, well, he was in and out. I mean, I don't like Brian Kelly.
He was repeating himself at the end. I think the way I put it was the way it needed to be put.
But like that.
Simple and concise.
That's more than enough, isn't it?
Yeah, that's fine.
He explained it. He explained himself. And I don't like Brian Kelly.
Right.
But what else is there to be said exactly? I'm leaving, guys, because I think there's a better opportunity for me. I wish you the best. You're one of the four best teams in the country. Good luck. Whether he's genuine or not, who cares?
Doesn't make a difference.
Doesn't make a difference.
Now I'm going to try to pilfer some of you players from here and convince you to get into the transfer portal. Looks like none of the coaches want to come with me because they know what a pain in the ass I am.
Yeah. Maybe.
So, there you go.
Right? I mean,
there'll be some coaches, some like low level assistants that will want to go because they could get regular assistant jobs and actually have actual salaries.
Mm-hmm. And so they don't have to park cars at his parties.
Right. They won't have to park the cars at the parties anymore. But I can't see the Irishman in the bayou. He's going to be sweating his Irish ass off. Yeah.
Is everyone satiated with that? I mean, again, I don't know what people expect. I don't know what they think coaches say to the players at that point.
It's never about there's no good way.
Right.
My question is, do people, when Brian Kelly or whoever is doing the recruiting in the recruitment process, are you being promised that Brian Kelly is telling you he will be there throughout your stay at your college?
Can any coach say that anymore?
I'm saying, there's a two-way street.
They could leave or they can get fired.
Exactly. The portal has now opened it up so that college athletes can leave when they're not happy.
Right, that's a good point. Coaches can get fired.
Do you feel like you were being lied to or misled in some way? Were you naive enough as a high school athlete, as you were being recruited, to not know that this was a possibility?
I guess you hope there's someone in that young person's life that could tell them the realities of the world.
I mean, these are, like, we're talking about, 17, 18-year-old people who play athletics. They have some understanding of how it works at college football. They see head coaches leave big-time programs all the time.
Especially when you're getting recruited by a program like this. Yeah, I know. I think you're right. I mean, there's probably some self-awareness, or there hopefully is someone in their life telling them. The transfer portal, I think, has made it a more balanced system because now if they do want to leave, they can.
Now, listen, you may feel a little bit betrayed if you selected Notre Dame based on wanting to play for Brian Kelly because you didn't think it was a realistic possibility, but it's misplaced anger, isn't it, in some ways? I don't know.
And you got to wonder how much Notre Dame wanted him speaking to the team, too. They could have said, look, you got 5 minutes.
Don't know. I think a lot of those kids go to play for Notre Dame because it's Notre Dame. Right? I mean, like, kids go play for Lincoln Riley. I get that. So, you're like, he's going to recruit people because I'm Lincoln Riley.
For kids that don't know anything about South Bend or Notre Dame, they're going because the coach has recruited them. Whoever recruited them, that's why they're going to go.
Not because the name carries weight anymore, York?
It does for some people. For my brother, Southside Catholic kid.
Yeah.
Notre Dame carried a lot of weight.
Yeah, like, man.
Carries a lot of weight.
I'm getting to go to Notre Dame. Like, does it matter who the coach is? Like, it's Notre Dame. It's as prestigious, even today, even with the failures and the playoff and everything else. And they certainly have won a ton of games under Brian Kelly, but like Notre Dame is one of the most historic, recognizable brands in college football. Notre Dame, Alabama, USC, Michigan, Ohio State, right? I mean,
I think there's also, it depends on the caliber of player you are. If you're a five-star recruit who only has designs on playing in the NFL, you probably look at Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson differently than you do Notre Dame.
Probably.
But if you're somebody who's like a 4/5-star athlete,
probably.
Who's like very also focused on the education you're going to receive, you might hold Notre Dame in a bit higher regard than some of the other schools that might be recruiting.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Fair.
As prestigious as they are, I don't think they play in the same league as Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, and Clemson.
I don't either, but in terms of brand name recognition, they're the equal of everyone.
Oh, yes.
I agree with you, Mellor. The quality of competition or the athlete or their ability to compete with those schools, not the same, but as far as a brand name, there is They're equal to anybody in college football.
Amongst us, anyone who's over the age of probably 30. But I think if you're 25 or under, your Notre Dame brand is not as strong as Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and maybe even Georgia.
How about Clemson's jumped into that pool?
Well, it's undeniable for anyone who's in high school right now.
They did the Sean Watson, Trevor Lawrence combination.
Yeah. Like, no, I'm
not for me coming in high school.
No,
Clemson was a national champion. No. Don't say
Clemson
no.
When you were in high school,
Clemson was a national champion when I was in high school.
In the 80s.
Early 80s. 83, 84, yeah.
One of those 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, like Clemson now, forget it. If you're going into college, yeah, you know Dallas.
And then Clemson fell off the face of the earth for a long time.
Through the, like, mid to late
90s. Like, Chester McLaughlin was, like, the last player that came out of Clemson.
Jeez, Chester
McLaughlin. And then it fell off the face of the earth. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Clemson won in 81.
Thank you. National championship in 1981. Clemson, Tigers. So I was in high school. Clemson was winning national championships.
You were in high school in 81? Old man.
81, 82, 83, 84. Old I mean, obviously, fall of 81.
Right, fall of 81, yeah.
Into the spring of 85.
Yeah. Old man river. I want to play a game with you coming up, and JD's going to give us a Bears update.
We're not going to play Can You Touch Your Toes, are we? We're not going to play Can You Touch Your Toes again.
Before we're going to play Hide the Pickle. It's like, whoa, you're
That was over there. That was over there.
Leave it to Meller.
I'm not playing that game.
JD's got an update. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Back to work Wednesday at Hallis. Let's go up there and talk to our buddy Jeff Dickerson, who covers the Bears in the NFL for ESPN.com. JD joins us on the Corona Hotline. He's with Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Bears are an 8-point underdog at home against Arizona. Yeah, tough matchup when you have to play an Arizona team that is coming off bye, probably as healthy as it's been in weeks, JD. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Kyler Murray's coming back, and that's the buzz out of Arizona. And, you know, they've won, what, 9 games, I believe. They had the most wins in the NFC. And,
yep.
Or tied with the Packers, maybe. That just stuck up on me. Sorry. But it is a back-to-work Wednesday. There's a lot of things that we hope we will get cleared up a little bit today, beginning with who the Bears starting quarterback is going to be. Now, we talked to Matt Nagy in about 10 minutes, allegedly. Sometimes these things get pushed back a tad. And then Wednesday is always the reveal day, or usually the reveal day for the quarterback this weekend. So we'll see how the Bears plan to handle this, you know, if they just plan to tell us or if they, do the whole dog and pony show. But I think to me that's the most important thing for the Bears' perspective is who's going to be that quarterback. Is it going to be Dalton, or do they feel like Justin Fields' ribs have healed enough where he gives them the best shot to win? We will see.
I can't imagine cracked ribs, right? Or I mean, can it be? They've had a little extra time since last they played, but it's still 2 weeks since the injury. I mean, I don't know. I can't see it just yet with cracked ribs. And I'm assuming they want to be extra careful with him, right, JD?
I could see it a little bit. I think they wouldn't mind putting him out there in some adverse condition. Now, they're not going to be reckless, okay? When I say that, I don't mean, like, if he's in tons of pain, you know what I mean? They're not going to go out there and play him, obviously. But if it's just a little discomfort and they feel like it's not going to get a whole lot worse, I could see him playing him. But I think the smart move this week is to give him one more week off and go with Andy Dalton for one more week, because that defense Arizona has is going to show them some looks. And I think I'd rather go with the veteran than the rookie.
Can they get Allen Robinson back on the field this weekend?
I know. It's been a month now. Yeah. You know, talking about that with some people this morning. I mean, I would hope so. They're paying him a lot of money, paying him $18 million to play. I'm not saying that he's not playing because of any sort of monetary reasons. But, I mean, you know, they need him. He's their best player on offense. So we'll see if he practices today. We'll see if Akeem Hicks practices today. There's a long list of guys. But, again, to me, the big thing that comes out of this practice on Wednesday, these press conferences coming up, who the Bears starting quarterback.
Yeah, quarterback, you're right. What about Roquan? Any update there? We just got to wait.
Yeah, that's the important one.
That's not a good one. As you can tell you, when you're knocked out of a game with a hamstring injury, that's pretty bad usually.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, I would not expect him to practice this week. You know, they could keep it up to a game time decision. They could do all that, you know, all that stuff they usually like to do. But, he was ruled out quick, too. You know, he was questionable. Yeah. Then they come back and he was ruled out. So those hamstring injuries, this is a bad pull. Or something even worse. That's not going to be good.
I don't know that this week can be any weirder than last for everybody up there, but or could it be? I mean, not because last week it went pretty fast. You were playing on the short week. I don't know if the players had as much time to process the craziness because you were getting ready to play a game on a Thursday on Thanksgiving.
And you won.
And they won, but I mean, like, is this, you know, are they looking around wondering, like, was the report real and the Bears just backed out? And is this guy going to be gone in a week or two? Or is he making it to, I don't know. I mean, like, what are the players thinking up there as they try to think about playing six more games still in the 2021 season?
It is not as weird today as it was last week. I can tell you my weirdness rating scale, it's a lot lower today. Because it's a game that they're not supposed to win, too. Don't forget. I mean, you know, it takes some pressure off you when you're going to go in there as an underdog and try to be a spoiler for the best team in the conference. This is not the Lions, who haven't won a game yet. So, I mean, I'm not saying that anyone saved jobs by beating the Lions the last second on Thursday, but the vibe is a little more relaxed, a little more subdued. And I anticipate it being that way for a while now with Arizona, with Green Bay. I mean, I don't have a lot of expectations for them. Do you guys in these games coming up?
No. I do not.
Well, I painted a scenario how the 4-7, 96 Jags found a way to make it in the playoffs by winning five straight. So though I agree there's a 1% chance of it happening, it starts with the victory over Arizona. So I have painted that scenario. Reality tells me it's not going to happen, and they're going to get smacked around, and that's just the way it is. And they'll probably end up getting smacked around a lot toward the end of the year. And if they could finish with seven victories, it might be a small miracle. That's truly what I think is going on.
Let's not forget, though, that 94 Jacksonville team 96. Had the most 96. Handsome 96. Nose guard, nose yeah. tackle
that's right.
in the history of football that would give you 90 total tackles a year, baby.
Yeah. They didn't have this right. Bears team doesn't have Yurko.
Yeah, not the Tariq
Cohen.
Not the Tariq Cohen is something special or would make a difference on this team.
No.
But ACL injury, we're past 12 months now. They're not going to play him because they don't want to play him. Or he's not ready? Did he have a setback? What was happening there?
We're going to have to ask that question again. That and the Tevin Jenkins window is open. Is he going to play this year?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that's very, very unclear. They have not been forthcoming, really, with any information about Tariq Cohen. There had to have been some sort of setback for this to be going on as long as it's been going on. I mean, he's here. He's working hard. The guy's not, you know, slacking off or anything. But, he hasn't played. And, I mean, he could, you know, Yurk, I mean, he can't hurt to get him back. You know what I mean? It's one of those
right,
where it's like,
right.
okay. Can't hurt. I mean, he can only help. How much he helps would probably be minimal, but they want him back out there. But, you know, physically, he just has to get the clearance from the doctors before that can happen.
All right, JD, anything else we should know for this week?
Oh, boy. Again, a big game against Arizona. I just think that pressure's off a little bit, but I think nationally, people now kind of understand a little better that this is going to be one of those where you have to watch it every single week. You know, I think nationally, they were looking for a quick strike, a quick firing. And I kept telling them, guys, that's not the Bears' way. It's not the Bears' way.
Right.
And now you're kind of see it kind of drag along this week. If they were to upset Arizona, now next week becomes at least interesting, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
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 Packers
we'll
on Sunday night.
That done.
Yeah. And that game, they would have already had to announce like any flex on that game, right, JD? There was some thinking because the Bears were so bad that might get moved. But it's Bears-Packers next Sunday night, right?
It's day.
That's what I thought. All right, JD, have a great week, buddy. We appreciate the update.
All right, guys, take care.
See you, pal. There's Jeff Dickerson. Yeah, I remember, wasn't that the talk early on, Meller, that like, oh, the Bears are so bad, but they're not going to flex.
No, they never, ever flex out of that game unless they're both awful.
Right,
Chicago market's huge. Green Bay, that rivalry.
Green Bay's got 9 wins.
And the problem is, it's not like NBC can flex into every game they want that's good.
Right.
They need the approval from CBS and Fox at points because they have, like, blocks for their really good games.
Right.
So, you know, it has to be, like, just an atrocious game for them to get out of. And Bears, Packers is always a good ratings bonanza for NBC.
Yeah, that's next week. The games that maybe they would have liked, I can tell you NBC would have probably been somewhat injured. But like Meller said, there are always complications because the other networks do get to protect some games, right, Jeff?
Yeah.
Like Bills Bucks is pretty sexy, right? That's the late window kick next Sunday. That's probably the only one perusing next week's schedule that you'd really look at and you'd be like, oh, that'd be kind of nice to have on Sunday Night Football. I mean, like Raiders Chiefs, you know.
Already had that game too on.
I think they did.
That was a Sunday nighter.
I think it was a Sunday nighter. Raiders Chiefs is next week. Really, the only other one that looks kind of 49ers Bengals not bad, but Bills Bucks would be the only one. But yeah, but Bears Packers will stay put. So.
I think I saw there was some movement of games, but I don't know if any of them got moved to NBC on the flex yet this year.
That's what we call the bowel movement of games.
Bowel movement?
Yeah.
Okay, I got a game for Yurko. Let's see how good he is here.
I'm ready.
Bears' chances of making the playoffs. So I took the 538 percentage, and right. I took the Football Outsiders, and then just added them together and divided by two.
That makes sense.
I cut it in half, and then I doubled it, Yurko.
Mm-hmm.
You get 1.85%. You get 1.85% chance that the Bears make the playoffs. Pretty close to the number you sort
right.
of.
Right, I threw 1% out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you threw 1%.
See, I'm an actuary in my mind.
Right, there's the math happening. Uh-oh, hold on. So I want to see here, Yurko. You tell me, better or worse, do you have a better or worse chance of getting struck by lightning in your lifetime? What do you think?
In my lifetime.
In your lifetime.
So meaning there's a less of a chance to be struck by lightning than the Bears.
Right. Like, what's higher, the Bears' chance of making the playoffs or you getting struck by lightning at some point in
I think
life?
The Bears' chance of making the playoffs is better than getting struck by lightning.
Yeah, it is. Yurko's right about that. Do you know you only have a 0.0065% chance statistically of getting struck by lightning? That's pretty low, so the Bears have a better chance. Here's one for you, Yurk. The odds of having twins in a natural pregnancy, so not...
Whatever it's called.
Odds of having twins in a natural pregnancy. What do you think? Is it higher or lower?
I would say it's lower than...
Yurk was good at this game, guys. 0.4% chance. 0.4. Not even a half a percent chance of having twins.
Four out of 1,000.
The Bears' chances of making the playoffs are higher. I have another one here for you, too. Yeah.
Hey, Casey's bouncing up a bar at Harvard next week. We should go up there. What are we going to do up there?
What there?
I don't know. We'll up some smart kids.
Yeah, you go mess up the smart kids.
Fit right in.
Odds of being accepted into Harvard, Yurko, is it higher or lower?
I would say there's more than 1,000 universities around the country.
I'm picking Harvard, Yurko.
Yeah, and Harvard, so I'm just
Harvard
saying.
I think Harvard technically has the toughest.
Right.
I think on a percentage basis, I believe Harvard accepts the lowest.
I'm feeling a theme right now, so I am going to say there's less of a chance to be accepted to Harvard than it is of the Bears winning out.
You would be wrong this time. You actually have a better chance of being accepted into Harvard than the Bears making the playoff. Can you believe that? 4.6% chance you have of being accepted.
Of applicants.
Harvard. Of applicants.
I've got you. Yes. All right.
I chose Harvard because I do believe they take the smallest amount.
Less than
5% of their applicants make it.
All right.
I just really wanted to play Matt Damon.
Yeah, I had a feeling you might have.
Go mess up some smart kids. I got a few more for you. I'll throw them at you.
I can't wait.
Coming up next.
This is Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
D Virgin to the practice squad. Of course. You guys haven't heard of D?
No.
D's nuts?
Wow.
There you go.
Neller pulled a Gronk earlier on Cap and Hoodie. D's nuts.
I love D Virgin, the newest bear.
D Virgin. I never heard of D Virgin. I got to be honest with you. D-D-E-E Virgin.
Isn't that originally from the Chronic album at the beginning of one of the songs or end of one of the songs?
D's nuts?
I believe that's Leroy Butler and Edgar Bennett used to run around the locker room up in Green Bay.
Oh, yeah, they're still doing
with
it.
With a little bit of that.
I believe that's where I was first introduced to it as like a 12-year-old.
That could
be. Yes. Yeah. They'd go around and say, hey, did you hear who said that? And you say, who? And then they'd come back with
hear
that.
What D said?
Who? Wasn't even D. They just ask a question about who. And you say, well, who? And then they'd come out with that. Yes.
Very good. Ah, hijinks. I love it.
Tomfoolery.
Tom Waddle.
No more tomfoolery, no more belly who.
Tom Waddle's a big proponent of the D game.
Oh, I'm sure. And remember, he was in the league when this was happening.
Yes, Waddle loves
it. 93? I'm guessing 93, 94.
Waddle loves hijinks, so...
The release of the Chronic.
Here's a few more for you, Yurko. We're talking about the Bears' playoff chances. About the 2%, 1.85, we're calling it. And I'm throwing some scenarios here at Yurko. Like we've done a chance of getting struck by lightning. Yurko nailed it. A much greater chance of the Bears make the playoffs. Odds of having twins, only 0.4. So better chance for the Bears to make the playoffs. You actually have a better chance of getting into Harvard if you applied.
That's true.
4.6%.
That's what you have told me.
Yeah. All right, here you go, Yurko. Odds of bowling a perfect game. Now, this is a non-professional, not the Pete Weber here.
Non-professional
leisure bowlers. Odds of bowling a perfect game.
That is definitely less.
Yurko's right. Less. I mean, it's almost like it hit by lightning.
Yeah.
Point 0.087% of bowling a perfect
game. Oh, man. You game. Still got to move the decimal over two spots. That's really
That's
a lot.
Unbelievable, yeah. Right, Yerk?
Oh, man.
How about this one, Yerko? Odds of having your car stolen in a given year. We're going off the 2020 data. Listen, there's not too much fluctuation.
If you're in Chicago, the odds of getting carjacked in the city of Chicago
is
about even money,
it
I'm guessing.
It is not even money. Odds of having your car stolen in an even year. What do you think? Sylvie's here. Answer the question, smart guy.
I would say your car stolen is greater than the Bears making the playoffs.
It's actually really low. It's now you're right, probably in certain areas, but this is just the U.S. data for the US. Year 2020. 0.3%, that's it, of actually having your car.
Okay.
You got a better chance of having twins
that's
than
true.
You do your car getting stolen.
That's true.
So those odds are much worse than the Bears' chance of making the playoffs. What about this one, Yurko? The odds of getting food poisoning.
Food poisoning.
In a given year. Yeah, odds of getting food poisoning.
Well, I think that, you know, people mistake things for food poisoning.
That's what I always thought.
So I'd say less than.
Shockingly, this number shocked me.
I'm shocked.
I almost am calling it into question, but I mean, who am I?
Well, you're Carmen DeFalco.
To debate the data. 16.7%, one out of six.
Oh,
that seems high to me, but that's what it said.
Really high to me.
What I looked up.
Must be eating the Chipotle.
I don't know. 16.7. That is exponentially greater than the Bears making the playoffs.
Now, didn't they have a problem, Chipotle, for a while?
I don't know.
They have the issue?
Did they?
About 3 years ago?
Yeah, they've had actually a couple of issues.
Yes, they have.
Listeria or salmonella outbreaks?
Yeah.
Stuff like that?
Uh-huh.
E. coli.
It was E. coli. With their lettuce.
Well, that happens quite often.
There was a long, yes, but there was an extended period of time for a couple months where they kept having some issues with E. coli because of their lettuce.
They were worried about it. We got a Chipotle opening up by me out in Northwest Indiana. You believe it?
I can.
This day and age?
I can believe
Chipotle
it.
Chipotle opening up?
How about this one, Yerk? Odds of hitting a Royal Flush in Texas Hold'em. Any Royal Flush in Texas Hold'em.
Oh, I think that's already, that's like 4 out of 2 million and something. I'm going to say less.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
0.0032%. Yeah. And if you're talking five cards, forget about it. Five-card stud, you got like no chance. Yeah. I mean, no chance.
We used to call that five-card Yerkovich. In Calumet City. Right. Five-card stud.
I'll give you one. Re-rack that for the final word, Miller.
Yeah, you can't.
You got to do that for tomorrow. I'll give you one more. Odds of being audited by the IRS.
Oh, now that they've reintroduced a bunch of guys?
Now.
Are you kidding me? It's chalk.
It's actually only 0.63%.
The whole world's going to get audited now.
Do you know
Build
they say,
back better, Mike and Podolsky.
They say if you throw out the millionaires and billionaires, so if you're not in like the, you know, like the chance of you getting audited, they say is infinitesimal, pretty much.
Yeah.
0.63%.
That's what they hired all those IRS agents for in its new bill?
I don't know.
You've been sleeping at the switch, huh?
I'm reading Adrian Wojnarowski here. Yeah, there is breaking Bulls news.
What is going on?
They have been whacked.
Give me the watch, McCall.
Have they been audited?
They've been audited.
Yes.
They just did an audit. The league did an audit. They've been dinged a second-round pick. So was Miami. For their premature discussions into free agency regarding Lonzo Ball and Kyle Lowry. The league will dock each of them their next second round draft pick for those premature discussions. I don't know. I mean,
big blow. Can't sell that one.
Well, I don't get it. They got a whole legal tampering period anyway.
It does seem silly.
The Heat released a statement. I haven't seen one from the Bulls did here. The Heat released a statement. While we disagree, we accept the league's decision. The Bulls released a statement that read, "We are glad this process has concluded, and we look forward to the rest of our season." Yeah, take your second round pick and go stick it. That's what they're saying. The league announced that both organizations cooperated fully. And that is why they settled on these penalties. I guess there still is a discussion ongoing about a potential fine that each team will have to pay. To which, you know, Mickey Arison and Jerry Reinsdorf, $10 million? That's no problem. I was going to sign Kyle Schwarber. Now I'm not. Everybody have a great day. Thank you.
They can't sell the second-round pick, and now the White Sox can't get themselves a right fielder. Damn it.
I'm not going to go sign Marcus Semien. Thank you to Steve Mariucci. I'll let Hoodie do that tomorrow. Thank you to Steve Mariucci for joining us from the NFL Network and Jeff Dickerson. Great job by Midway, Jeff Meller, and J.R. Strauss. Thanks for listening, calling, and participating. And we'll see everybody tomorrow. Have a great hump day. Have a great Wednesday. It's Whiskey Wednesday. I'll have a video up later.
Oh, I can't wait.
Rainey is next, Yurko. Then Waddle and Sylvie, then Black and Abdallah.
Not here tomorrow. I'm going to play golf.
Have fun tomorrow. Brian Kelly's got the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word. Because you had to be. a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word
on Carmen and Yuriko.
I want to be able to tell you face to face, you know, why we're at, and that is very simply that.
I just bought this truck straight cash, and I got enough cigarettes to last me and my family for the rest of our lives.
That the past 12 years have been the most incredible 12 years of my life, for me and my family, being here in Notre Dame.
I'm rich, bitch!
That was The Final Word on Carmen and Yuriko on ESPN 1000.